Hey everybody, Ellie Noss here. Atomic Moms Podcast is an ongoing conversation with parenting experts, celebrities, and listeners all over the world about the joys, challenges, funny bits, and complexities of caring for our little ones and ourselves. You can find us on social media at Atomic Moms, on Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest, and on our Facebook page. We love hearing from you guys. I'm recording in my kitchen right now, and I have the most pathetic headset. I sound a little bit like I'm a pilot on a plane, which is fitting for the theme of this holiday survival guide episode. Santa is going to be bringing me a very fancy microphone, I hope, in the next couple weeks. But in the meantime, we can stick with this. And it kind of goes into my New Year's resolution, which is to have a B plus year. So many times I let my perfectionism get in the way and I let it paralyze me or keep me from putting things out there, doing things I want because I'm afraid it's not perfect or it doesn't sound just right or it doesn't sound professional enough. And if I let that stop me, then we won't have an episode today. And I have such awesome guests. Our French correspondent, Jenny, who you guys know from the Expatriate Moms episode. I'm calling her at her office in Paris, and she's going to talk to us about what she's learned on all of her international flights. Then we will be touching base with Claire Coffey, along with Bridget Maloney Sinclair, and they give you all their own awesome tips. And then we get to talk to my Bianca. Bianca Kylik, who has been with this podcast from the beginning. I mean, we co-founded it together, and the past few months she has been so busy at work on Undateable and raising her little one. She's going to sort of, you know, give us a farewell on the podcast. She's going to come back whenever she can, but she has a really, really beautiful thing to say about where her priorities are, and I'm not going to spoil what she says, but I'm definitely going to take that analogy with me into the new year. And last but not least, I have asked Susan Stiffelman. She is the author of Parenting with Presence and Parenting Without Parenting with Presence and Parenting Without Power Struggles. I've asked her to please help us with how we can keep things, you know, sane and upbeat when we're around our relatives. Because I don't know about you guys, but I have a really bad habit of turning into my teenage self whenever I'm around my parents for more than a day. So I definitely cannot wait to get her professional advice on how we can sort of navigate the drama that comes up with the holidays. And, you know, it's the end of the year. It means it's a time of reflection, and we figure out what worked last year and what didn't and what we accomplished and what we let go of, and we look forward to the bright, shiny new year ahead of us. You know, one of the greatest joys of this year has been being able to personally reach out to Dr. Shefali and Janet Lansbury and Dr. Robin Berman and Jennifer Waldberger and Susan Stiffelman, who you will hear from today, and develop relationships with them. And I've been so excited to create and continue to produce a platform from which they can share their work. And I think one of the greatest victories for me in 2015 was having a four-mom hour-long discussion on postpartum depression and anxiety on this podcast, because who else gets to do that? It was amazing. This show is so important to me, and already lined up for the new year, I have a CNN news correspondent who's going to share her working mom guilt. I've got a Caucasian mom who shares her experience in adopting two black sons. I've got a mom who is able to explain to us attachment parenting and give the reasons why she chooses to homeschool. I really want to tackle ADHD. We've got a full episode with Susan Stiffelman, who's on the forefront of parenting with presence. The people that I speak to on this podcast become my family, and you all are my family. And some of you new listeners might be like, I don't even know you, and you need to get a better microphone. I'm not your family yet. Okay, fine, you're not my family yet, but I'm going to keep bugging you until you're my family, because we're going to go to some incredible places together. You know, this show isn't just about life hacks for throwing the best kids' birthday parties, or what to pack for lunch, or even how to survive a plane trip, which is sort of like what we're doing today, although survive a plane trip sounds really dark. What I mean is, like, you know, get through it without losing our minds. You know, it's more than that. It's about sharing our experiences, feeling like we're in a collective, that we're an ensemble. There's my theater roots coming out. We're a beautiful, if slightly dysfunctional, tribe. And this podcast to me is also about learning how we can clean up our acts personally so we can be fully present and attuned to our children. That's my secret, sneaky agenda, guys. It's like, how can we be better people ourselves, our best selves, so that we can show up for our kids? And so some of us are shedding generations of baggage. It's kind of scary to break out of the mold. And our own family members might be looking at us like, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you doing it my way? And it's scary to be open-hearted and trusting when so many of us have been hurt. But if we can model for our children that we are good with ourselves and that we can accept them for exactly who they are in that moment, and that we are strong enough to support them and have their back no matter what, then we're giving them the best gift imaginable. Okay, so I'm going to get off my soapbox now. Welcome to Atomic Moms. First up, we're calling Paris. Hello, Jenny.
Hello, Ellie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. We're in full holiday swing. We just got back from the U.S. for Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And Gabrielle is back in this time zone, so we're having, you know, restful nights once again.
Will you remind our listeners how old she is?
Yes. So Gabrielle, our daughter, is 2 and a couple of months, I think. So.
What are they? Our daughters are like a month apart, so it's like, what, 26 months? I don't know. What is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm trying to do math in my head. So
we're terrible.
I know, right? Yeah, that makes about sense, 26 months or something. Around that.
How long did it take her to get back to Paris time schedule after spending Thanksgiving with your family in the States?
You know, usually it takes about 2 weeks. And they say that it takes an hour for every... For every hour that you've lost, or for every hour that you gain when you travel, it's going to take that day to gain it back. So if it's a 9-hour time difference, expect about 9 days to get them back, or anybody actually back on the schedule. It's actually a lot easier heading west than it is heading east, but it took us actually only about 5 days this time. So it was amazing. But the thing is that we did a little bit of a different flight thing, and I found was really helpful. Maybe this, you know, was part of why we had success. For the first time, we really took a red-eye flight, and we got in at the end of day, so Paris time. So we were up for a few hours, and I was thinking I wasn't going to be able to get her to bed before 3 o'clock in the morning. But she crashed at 11:30, which was amazing. Whereas usually the flights that we have get us in at, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and then you have to stay up for the entire day. And that's just hard to do. So I think that maybe that night flight where we were getting kind of in at the end of the day really helped us out a lot. Oh, and she had a cold as well, too. So I will say that the Benadryl maybe had something to help us out. It wasn't I was just giving her Benadryl for the sake of anything. She really did have a cold. So, but maybe I need to start looking at that as an option moving forward.
That's hilarious. Well, we are going to be going on a short flight coming up. Nothing like your international travels. But I would love some advice from you for our daughter about how to keep her entertained on the plane.
Yeah. So, you know, the biggest thing I learned, and that has been super helpful for us, is go to the back of the plane. If you can pick your seats, this is something we always try to do whenever we have a flight, is we look at the flight configuration with Seat Guru, And we're really strategic about where we go. So
Right, and so
if
for
I'm,
people who don't know, SeatGuru, is it SeatGuru.com?
yes, and it's amazing. It's amazing because it allows you to look at the seat chart for each flight, and it will tell you based on, you can just enter your flight information, it will pull up the seat map, and you get, it's kind of like TripAdvisor, but for traveling on planes, and it will tell you which seats are the best seats, which are okay, and kind of the general
Which
configuration of the
ones
plane.
don't recline?
Exactly. So they give you kind of some of, or if you're in a bulkhead, sometimes there's pros and cons with being in a bulkhead seat. So you got maybe some extra space for your feet, but you might not have extra space. You might be a little bit more cramped for your seats, or having space to put your stuff down in the seat in front of you or behind you or whatever. So, but so we always look at that. And what we've actually learned is, listen, if I'm traveling by myself, or when we were, you know, a young and careless and wild free couple, we didn't want to be at the back of the plane. And we want to get in and out and, you know, don't check baggage. But things have definitely changed with the little one. We actually find that going to the very back of the plane is actually really good. Here's why. Because if the flight is not completely booked, it's more likely that there's going to be extra space in the back. So that means, one, if you have not reserved a seat for your child because they can be considered, you know, a baby on the lap, what airlines try to do is book a seat, block a seat next to you if you haven't paid. However, if all the seats fill up because they're overbooked or the flight's completely booked, then they're going to have to let that seat go. But if they're not, and especially if you're in the back, they'll probably continue to block that seat for you.
I know, and
So
I always reserve, well, before, now Sabrina needs her own seat, but before I would get the aisle and the window because you're always hoping no one's going to book that middle seat.
exactly. So, and I think that we've done that a couple of times before, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but we have definitely had a lot of success with being towards the back of the plane. What it also means is that there's likely going to be extra space for you to put some stuff up in the overhead bins, and you're not, you know, in this war with other passengers at the front of the plane. It's likely going to be a little bit more calm back there. You've got quicker access to the restrooms as well, too. Quicker access as well, I find that if you're taking a night flight, especially because we're on flights that are 12 hours long, if you need to calm them down, it's easier to get out of your seat and have a little bit of space there towards the end to kind of walk around a little bit. So, and especially too, you know, being in the back enables you to go take, you know, go to the restroom or, you know, get her to calm down. It's not like you're trying to carry a baby between those minuscule aisles and trying to make it work with the turbulence. So it's safer as well too. So I just find it's generally a lot less stressful being in the back of the plane compared to trying to be in the best seats in the front of the plane.
What kind of snacks do you pack?
So, interesting. What I like to do, because she likes, and she calls them crunchy crunch. So crunchy crunch is a generic term for anything that she can pick up with her two fingers, and it makes a crunch when it goes into her mouth. So we used to like to do, when she was a little younger, those Gerber, I forget their name, but they're like these little puff cereal things. We used to do those. What I do these days are things like pretzels or cereal that doesn't have too much sugar, so Cheerios or things like that. And she, at least Gabrielle, she really likes to pick things up with her hand, and it keeps her occupied a little bit. And there's not as much of a mess with like a yogurt or, you know, even those little yogurts or the applesauce things that are in the pouches. She likes to squeeze them sometimes, so it overflows like a volcano, which is not great to have on a flight, at least with her, but she's doing better. So I find that, and what I try to do is get the disposable kind of Tupperware-ish things, like the Gladlock that you can get in stores. That way, if you forget about it, it's not a big deal. It's, you know, the kind of this disposable things. And I just put a little bit of cereal and put that into my purse, actually, and it works out well. You know, something else I've learned too, again, my experience is with a lot of international travel, and I find that they're generally kinder to us here in France. I.e., if we go to security, they see us with a stroller or a baby strapped to our chest, they just automatically put us through the priority lane, you know, for the people that have status and all of that. They don't do that necessarily over in the U.S. They don't really care what your situation is. Sometimes you might find some generous souls, but one thing I have learned is when it comes to pre-boarding, is a lot of people don't do pre-boarding for families anymore, which has been shocking me. And I've actually had a couple of airlines tell me, no, we don't do that anymore. But what I found is that if you at least go up and inquire and ask, you might not receive. Sometimes they'll make an exception saying, well, we generally don't do this anymore, but, you know, you can go ahead and board, you know, when we call people up, the status members or the first class, go ahead and come up and we'll let you through. So I say ask, or you might not receive.
That is great advice, Jenny. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go. Well, Adam is always more convincing, so I'm sure if he went up to the desk, they would, if he pretended to be a dad traveling alone with a child, I'm sure they would let him through. So maybe that's how we'll be sneaky about it this time. Jenny, thank you for letting us interrupt your workday in Paris. We love you so much. Thank you for being our French correspondent. I can't wait to catch up with you more in the new year. We love you so much. Thank you, Jenny.
Love you too. And everybody, happy travels this holiday season with the kiddos. Good luck.
Bye, Jenny. Thanks.
Bye, Ellie.
Okay. Listeners, we have Claire Coffey. Do you go by Claire Thiele ever?
I go by Claire Thiele legally and on my driver's license.
Okay, that's what I'm like with Steakiel. So,
but Coffey professionally and publicly.
Publicly,
nobody
and on
can
Atomic
pronounce
Moms as a
Thiele,
guest.
So.
You're Claire Coffey and Bridget Maloney Sinclair, who our dear listeners know from her own episode and also from our Expatriate Moms episode, which was quite a hit, I must say.
Oh, good. I'm so I enjoyed it.
I did too. Okay, you two travel all the time. Bridget just came back from New York. We heard a little bit about that. With her daughter. And Claire, I feel like every weekend you're flying to Minnesota with your dear sweet husband filling in for Harrison Keeler.
Well, he's been on tour for the last 3 months. So we've been flying up and down the coast and then holiday travel. We flew cross country, which was a total nightmare, but it got me excused from any further cross-country travel alone. So, you know. It's a win. It can
Wait,
be counted
really,
as a win.
Just for so our listeners can understand how awful this can be. Oh, and there he is in the background.
There's Cal.
There he is. He's like, I want to talk about this. Because when you were coming back from Thanksgiving, you bought a seat for him.
He is
under 1 year old. You bought a seat for him. The airline did not put the seats together.
No, well, the problem was our flight was delayed and then we missed a connection in Charlotte. So I had Chris on the phone because he has better status than I do with Delta. So I had Chris on the phone trying to get us seats, and there was only seats on a flight, an oversold flight, through Phoenix to get back to Portland. So we were going to arrive in Portland at 2 a.m. And my incredible nanny, who will normally like do over, I couldn't ask her to meet me at my house at 2 a.m. That was just ridiculous. So it was going to be, you know, a real heck of an evening regardless, but because it was oversold, they didn't get flights. Like, you know, just switch with someone. It's no big deal. Which, you know, they gave me the proper seats where it would have been fine to switch, like not a middle and a middle. So I get back there to the back of the plane and I'm trying to switch an aisle, the very last aisle seat, to an aisle seat 2 rows ahead of that seat. And there's this woman back there and I said, hi, I'm so sorry. I just have to be able to sit with my infant. Can you just switch seats with me? And she stares at me and goes, if you can get that guy to switch, then I'll switch with you. This guy sitting ahead of her who's on his phone and acting like he doesn't know what's going on, 1 foot from his face, who's just, you know. And I said, do you know this man? And she said, no. And I said, okay, so, but this is a better seat. Like, you're not, and she just gives me this look. Like, not my problem. Figure it out, lady. So this very sweet guy offered to switch middle seats, like a seat that reclined for a seat that didn't, to sit next to this lovely woman. and I was like, really? It like really ruined an already terrible day. I don't know how it could possibly have been any worse. But I really was like, what in the world? you take it so personally at that point.
But what I want to know is, because we always have gotten Phoebe her own seat, and she rides in a car seat on the plane, and she has to be in the window.
Well, what I learned is that they don't actually need a car seat. Here's another hot tip, but it's a terrible, because I don't know how you feel about it, but his car seat, it was the same deal. Like, I always buy him a seat.
But I never do. I'm so cheap. I make everyone miserable.
And no,
I
listen.
But I've never had to fly alone with her.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's self-preservation. Like,
if I had to fly alone, I'd buy a whole row.
Yes.
I'm a recovering anxious flyer, so I like having her strapped in next to me. Like, that's good for my anxiety management. Also.
It's all selfishly driven.
Survival. That's selfish.
So because of the LA experience where I was delayed for 9 hours in the airport, I learned that they don't actually need a car seat. So in situations like this, you just get the extra, like for me, I had the extra seat so he could kind of lay down and nap instead of being on me the entire time. And then I just held him. Well, I mean, I nurse him most of the flight anyway, so and then we just have an extra seat to store all of our crap and then hope that whoever is sitting in the
aisles.
And there's
so much crap. Like, because
there's
you're
so much crap.
And you cannot keep reaching down under the seat if you have a baby on your lap to try to get the crap. So that makes a ton of sense. I was also a huge fan of lugging the boppy pillow around the airport.
That's really?
Which looks so ridiculous, but it was very helpful when she was under one because I could just prop her up on it. Like, if you're sharing a seat with a baby, that boppy was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, because then you can, like, probably turn it around, the boppy around, and then you have a little island for her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody on, you guys might have seen this, on Facebook recommended taking the pillow out of the boppy cover and stuffing it with all the soft goods you'll need on the plane.
That's a genius idea.
That's so funny. That's like a fancy version of like the pillowcase for Halloween candy.
That's really genius. Yeah.
But that's so much. My sister and her family are flying in tomorrow, and they are, or today in the world of the podcast, but they are, for the first time, my nephew, who's over 2 and is very big, will be flying with a CARES harness, CARES. And it's like, it's a seatbelt adapter that turns the seatbelt piece. So, like, it turns it into, like, a car seat harness on the airplane seat.
That's a million-dollar idea.
But how do you convince the kid to stay strapped like
that? Well, that's the thing. So, if they're crafty enough, I guess they can scoot out the bottom. There's a lot on the internet of, like, don't let them realize that.
Hope that 2-year-old's not listening to the podcast.
But also, like, if he sits on a pillow, it's kind of harder. If it's tight enough, I think it's kind of hard for them to get out. But you convince them by letting them have unlimited access to your electronic device. They're not normal. But we do.
Is there anything that you two do to sort of stay sane for yourselves? Like, I at times have brought on little, like, you know, little perfume rollers, but then I get dirty looks for that, or things to sort of keep you centered, or like face towelettes. Do you do anything?
When I was in the airport for that extraordinarily
for 9 hours, I should have rescued you.
That was no, there's not, that would have made me the guilt of like you thinking of you driving across town through traffic.
It was like 5 o'clock traffic, so
no, it was
you also did
face washing and teeth brushing is a big deal.
What's that?
I said Claire didn't reveal she was still at the airport for a while. But if I remember correctly, she was there for several hours before she told us. I'm sorry, but you were saying something
else. LAX. This is what friendship's all about.
I think cleanliness for me, hygiene is very important. The teeth brushing and face washing thing.
Okay, This is important because everyone should know that you were in a Crest toothpaste commercial with Ryan Seacrest. Nobody takes brushing teeth more seriously than Claire Coffee. So do you, what kind of toothbrush do you travel with? Because I get so grossed out by how wet it gets. Do you use one of those stupid little plastic covers or what's the deal?
There's this great plastic cover that Whole Foods sells. And it's called Doctor Something or Others. And it has a hygiene little like patch inside of it to supposedly make it sanitary. I'm sure that's a lie. But I do that, and then, you know, you have to have a bottle of water to brush your teeth in the airport, in the airplane sink, because you can't use the water. So
you brush it in the bathroom in the plane?
Oh, yes.
How many times do you brush your teeth while you're traveling?
Well, I mean, if it depends
Do you do it when you get off the plane?
Sometimes. I do it whenever I feel like plaque is starting to take root. After most things I eat, I brush my teeth.
So, because Claire and I shared a dentist, and like 5 years ago, and the dentist still brings up Claire. I mean, she's such a shiny example.
I probably put their kids through college.
Oral hygiene.
I don't know if it's any. I don't know where he got it from, but Cal's favorite toy is my electric toothbrush, my Oral-B electric toothbrush. I've moved up from the Sonicare.
You made the switch as well. It's easier to clean.
It's nicer. Yeah, I think it's nicer clean. But they make little baby electric toothbrushes, so he has his own little electric toothbrush, and they're really cute. Amazon, just FYI. Yeah.
How about you, Bridget? Do you use any sort of like towelettes for your face? I've gotten to the point where I'll bring, because I get so greasy, I will bring a washcloth with me and just put it in a Ziploc bag so that I can wash my face when I get off the plane. You know, this is if I'm not also juggling my baby.
Yeah.
If I'm able to sort of escape for a moment if my husband has her.
No, I bring like my history of cognitive behavioral therapy and my hypnosis tapes. Like, I draw on that. I was going to say, like, my luxury is an attitude of not caring what the people around me think, which is a lie. Last time we flew, we paid for, well, we didn't pay because I was doing a job. So somebody bought our tickets, which was nice. The job bought the tickets. Extra leg room because we were flying economy.
Oh, you have to. Yeah, you have to.
Because she can't kick the seat in front of her. Solely, that's why. Like, I would have been like, what? Can I have the difference in the ticket? Otherwise, because I can't, now that my daughter's legs are long enough to kick the seat in front of her, I cannot relax. Because she'll torture the person in front of her. And she's done it successfully once, and I offered to buy the woman a drink, and she was like, no, I'm okay. It's okay. So, and I mean, she was drinking. Like, I don't know why she didn't take any fun.
She's like, I'm already drunk. I don't
know. It's because she knows how terribly she's going to draw Phoebe in the story that she tells all of her friends when she gets off the plane.
The material was worth it.
Exactly.
No, I would say, I mean, for me, it's like, it's about just like getting through it. I think I might have said this, but when I last flew back east alone with Phoebe, I was really nervous about who was going to be seated next to us. And it was an Australian pediatric occupational therapist who was traveling.
Oh, wow. Girlfriend.
And so I was like, do you want to do an assessment? And he was like, no.
Well, you have to explain to our listeners what that's about.
For me personally or generally, occupational therapists usually, like, the quick and dirty rule of thumb is they focus on above the waist development, like fine motor skills and stuff like that. But Phoebe's had done, which I've talked about on the podcast, therapy for her late walking. So I love pediatric therapists, obviously, but he was like a charming Australian, and then we barely chatted, but it was nice to know I had like a professional baby person next to me. So if you can travel with one of those, I really
preferably hot and Australian.
You can find a cute Australian who's never been to America before to help you carry your car seat off. Oh, you know what my big thing is? And I think I mentioned this last time I was on the show, maybe not, is the Go-Go Baby, or the, I'll send Ellie the link, the Baby Bricka rollerboard. You hook your car seat to it, and it turns the car seat basically into a carry-on piece of luggage, and you can roll them through the airport in it.
It's super exciting. Also, the guava, can we give a shout-out to that?
That thing's been so
the
good.
The guava lotus crib, because, man, Sabrina was in that pack and play, and it was like Jack and the Beanstalk all of a sudden. And so I panicked because we were going out of town, and I was like, where the heck is she going to sleep? Like, she can't sleep in a bed yet, and she's definitely not co-sleeping with me. So, which I did the other morning, by the way. I don't know how you did that for so long, Claire.
I'm still doing it.
You're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
He's going to be in bed until he's like in. I don't know.
It's like she's an octopus in bed with me. It's like she has 12 limbs and they're all trying to go into my like face and my stomach and between my leg. Like it's just it's so intimate. So the Lotus thing is amazing. You can unzip it. It's down the side. So
it's also really easy to travel with. It's so light.
Isn't it great?
It's so light.
It's a little backpack or you can just put it under the plane, but it's so light. It's so easy to put together. I'm obsessed with it. I'll send another link for it because it's honestly, I think, my favorite thing on earth.
Chris convinced me to check the car seat and stroller on this crazy.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Claire.
Where'd Claire go?
Where did she go?
Did I just ruin it? Oh my gosh.
You ruined it. No, we're still going though. We're going strong.
Where'd you go?
We are waiting with bated breath for what Chris was saying. He told you to check it.
That was him just trying to FaceTime, and I declined the FaceTime, and it somehow declined everything else. So he was like, you need to check the car seat and the stroller. Like, just have. I travel with my backpack. My backpack is my diaper bag, which if you're traveling is a must. So I said, okay, fine, you know, we'll try. And I had him strapped to me in the Becco, which I also recommend.
Yes.
But that made him feel doubly guilty because then I'm like, if our luggage doesn't arrive, I don't have a car seat. I don't have this, like my security blanket of this stroller through the airport, you know, that he can sleep in and everything. But there's something like if the baby is strapped to your chest facing out, whomever you're trying to get help from, you get a lot more sympathy that way. If you're just like bedraggled mother, baby strapped to her chest, like, please, I just need to get home. It's good.
That's great advice.
That is.
I love the Becco Gemini.
Yeah, it's that one's also very, very good.
Yours? Do you have Virgo?
Who, me?
No, what do you have, Claire? You've got the Becco?
The Becco.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
I said good, as though we're Team Becco. Wow, Ellie. I'm just like throwing out all my opinions about co-sleeping, about which carrier.
That's what people are tuning in for. I have the Boba, the Ergo, and the Bjorn, some of which I inherited, some of which I was given. Wait, that's the same thing. Some of which I purchased, one of which I purchased, and then I was given the other two. And we just put them all away. And that you can send them to help with Syrian refugees if you're not going to have any more children or you have more than you need with Operation Syrian Refugee Child, I think it's called. You can also just donate money. There you go. My little plug for that.
It was such an amazing – that is really, really, really an incredible organization. I'm going to pull that up really quickly because I want our listeners to know.
I'm unaffiliated. I just know about it. That's all.
So, it's – if you just look up baby carriers for refugees, you will find a ton of articles about it. I think it's the most beautiful idea ever. The organization is called Carry the Future.
Oh, wow.
And it has distributed more than 3,000 baby carriers to Syrian refugees on the Greek island of Kos, helping them carry children as they travel long distances on foot after arriving in Europe. Volunteers in Athens have an additional 2,500 baby carriers, which they were planning to distribute by Thanksgiving Day. And I just read that on Mashable.com. But I think that is the most beautiful – idea for an organization ever, and it breaks my heart. And that would be a really wonderful way to give back this holiday season.
I'm glad that it's, yeah, because the last I had heard about it, it wasn't as organized into a place like, here's where to send it. So that's really, really good to know.
Okay. They also, I just donated not very much money. You can also just do that too with them. They have a link through their website, I think, for other necessities.
I mean, and that really puts things in perspective. And so thank you for bringing that up also, Bridget. You know,
that's kind of, I'm kind
it's,
of.
No, when you're traveling.
You're kind of the downer, Bridget. And we appreciate that about you. no, because when we're lugging all this crap through the airport, we should remember that there are people that aren't at the airport. They're trying to, you know, they're walking through entire countries with their children in their arms. And, oh, man, are this we is, just the luckiest people alive?
I know it sounds very trite for me to say it right now, but that is exactly what I was thinking when I was going through this. Because normally when you get these sort of ridiculous holiday travel nightmare craziness, I would get so upset thinking of, oh, these lost hours that I would have at home to what, to like clean and organize my suitcase. And so when you have like having Cal there, who's just like still super happy because he doesn't know anything's wrong, it's a really good reminder, like, well, what, like, you know, I'm what's 8 hours of my time? And then the, you know, with all of the Syrian refugee crisis that's going on right now, and it sounds so ridiculous, but that's what was in my mind, like, oh my gosh, I am so lucky. And also, you know, what would I do in that scenario? So it does help put things into perspective.
I believe you sent that text, as a matter of fact, from hour 9 to the airport.
That's true. I know. I do. At some point, we do need to have a book published with the text. That's when Atomic Moms goes into publishing. My beautiful dear friends, I just want to take a moment to thank you for hopping on the phone to share these tips with our listeners. I know you guys are both crazy busy, and I just want to personally thank you for being such champions of this podcast. It just meant the world to me. So I love you guys, and I'm sure our listeners look forward to hearing more from you this next year, 2016.
Love you, Ellie.
Love you. And I love you too, Claire.
I love you too, Bridget.
Okay. I will be right back. Hooray, it's working.
Yay.
Oh my gosh, Bianca. So please fill everyone in on the holidays. We got to fill everyone in on what's going on with Atomic Moms. We want some travel tips from you. And you also wanted me to remind you about sharing. Yes. So let's start with the thing that you got, because now I am intrigued. You asked me to remind you of something you learned this weekend about moms supporting moms. Let's jump in there.
Yeah. So I recently had a discussion with one of my mama friends, who had a little bit of a falling out, with another mama friend. And, I don't want to get into the particulars because I don't want to betray the people. And the story is not really important. What's important is that, you know, all of us, I think, go through situations with our mama friends, be it people that we knew before we became parents and we've kind of embarked upon this parenting journey together, or people who became our friends because we now are parents and we've met them through our kids or at the park or whatever it may be. And, It was a big lesson for me because something had happened with their kids, and you know, each had their own side of the story, and each really took what had happened personally and was very hurt by it. And in talking with them, I realized that while they were, you know, rightfully, I think, hurt by what had happened, at the same time, they weren't stepping back and looking at the bigger picture, which was that they're both struggling and they're both having a hard time with very different places in parenthood, but at the end of the day, kind of very similar feelings and frustrations. And it just reminded me that it's very easy. I know that I've had a couple situations where, you know, get a little bit judgmental or think like, how could this person do that? And it reminded me to stop when I have those feelings and remember that no matter how perfect or easy or together it seems like, you know, parents that you know have it, we're all like bumbling messes, right? I mean, we're all kind of really just hoping that we're not messing this up too much. And it doesn't excuse crappy behavior. It doesn't excuse people being hurtful or selfish or any of those things. But I think it's a lot easier to swallow when you can try to remember that anybody that you're dealing with who has kids, whether you think that they're a good parent or not, is doing the best that they can with the tools that they've been given. And it doesn't mean that you have to continue relationships with people that you don't agree with how they're doing things. But I guess maybe it could give us pause to have compassion and to maybe be a little softer and gentler and, you know, really try to grasp that we are all the same in this, because we're all totally clueless, right? I hope you can't hear my dogs barking viciously in the background. you know, it was just a little wake-up reminder for me that I wanted to share, because it's so much different when you're in it, but when you're kind of overseeing two people going through it, it was so much clearer to me that they were both feeling the same things, and yet they were both kind of projecting and being judgmental of the same things in the other person.
Right.
So anyway, I think it's a good thing going into the holidays too, because people get so nutty during the holidays, right?
I know.
Speaking of the holidays, I bet a lot of you out there are getting ready to travel. And I know that I have done my fair share of research and put into practice a lot of – it's so confusing when you – because, like, it feels like every stage there's new equipment that you need, and there's – and there doesn't seem to be a ton of stuff online, especially for, like – I mean, there's websites galore for, like, what car seats that you should use on an airplane, but nobody seems to be talking about what car seats are best for, like, getting out and in and out of cabs, or – you know, if you're going to be someplace where you're not renting a car, how do I go? What do I do when I'm going to a restaurant and I have to take the car seat with me? So, like, I have done, I feel like about 2 years worth now of research. So first, right. I'll start off by saying this is what we used when Magnolia was an infant. And this was for car travel, for plane travel. So for infant travel, we had like our car seat, which I think was the Upa Baby Mesa, which we used in our cars at home. But that thing weighed a little too much. I wanted something lighter, and that could just be a bang around one, because, you know, you're throwing it everywhere. It's going underneath the plane sometimes. And I just wanted to make sure that we had something that was devoted solely for travel. So I found this car seat called the Cybex, I think is how you pronounce it. It's Cybex Atten 2 infant car seat. And it's super duper light and super duper simple, but very safe, which is obviously a huge importance. And I think it weighs like, 8 pounds or something like that. So it's fairly, oh, sorry, totally wrong. 15 pounds, but it felt like 8 pounds. It felt very light. And then we also got the, and I've talked about this, it was one of my mom's sessions one time, the Mountain Buggy Nano Stroller. And the thing that's so cool about the Mountain Buggy Nano Stroller is it's 11 pounds and it folds up literally to carry on size. So one of the biggest fears that I had, because I read a lot about it, is people travel, they check their stroller at the gate when they're boarding the plane, and they get the stroller back and it's broken. Because
what's the difference between that and just a regular umbrella stroller that you can fold up and it's like 6 pounds and you throw in the overhead?
Well, this one reclines, and
Oh, wow. It
actually has attachments so that the car seat, the little infant car seat, can sit in it and be strapped to it.
Ooh, so it acts
as a travel system, which is awesome. And it's super lightweight, and it folds up even smaller than those umbrella strollers do. So it's actually more compact. And people had tried to tell us, like, oh, you can't go on with your stroller. I'm like, oh, no, we can. Folds up all the way like this.
You're like, go gadget.
Exactly. And that was great for, like, we went to New York a couple times. It was awesome because the Cybex, like, goes into cabs super easy. And we'd literally just, like, snuggle her up, especially in cold weather, in the little car seat. And then we'd, like, we got really, really super fast at, like, clicking her in with the taxi shoulder belt. It just goes around the car seat and gets it in there real snug. And then we pop her out in that, and then we put it down in the stroller. It's awesome because then you, like, if you go to dinner or you need to do some shopping or wherever you are that you're going in and out of cabs or other people's cars, it's super, super simple, keeps it awesome. Way convenient. Yeah.
Okay. So that was now I'm going to get selfish. I need to hear about your convertible car seat solution.
Okay.
Because that's where Sabrina is.
Yes. All right. So if you're somebody who has under 2 years old, and you're traveling by plane, and so you need not necessarily to deal with the car seat on the plane, although this car seat can be used on the plane too, then this is the Britax Marathon G4.1 convertible. It's 20 pounds, so it's still heavier than obviously your small little infant car seats, but it's so much lighter than almost everything that I lifted at the store. And it's super, super easy to click in, whether you have to use the shoulder belt or it does have the latch connectors. So for newer cars, you can use it. And I just took it to, we went to Austin, Texas for Thanksgiving, and we got a rental car, and it was so fast to secure in there. And it feels really durable, and it has awesome safety ratings. And not only that, I have to tell you, the only car seat that Magnolia has ever slept consistently 2 hour naps in. So I know, like, a lot of people who, when you switch from your little infant bucket seat to the car, convertible car seat, you like mourn the loss of long naps in the car. That doesn't have to be the case. Because there's something about the width of the wings on the side, her head doesn't go forward. You know, if your child is under two and you're traveling via plane and you're cool just checking the car seat when you check in and get your boarding passes, and so you want to just check the bag when you check all your other suitcases, which is nice because then you don't have to carry the car seat all the way through if you're not using it on the plane. There is a great bag that I found. By the way, all this stuff is on Amazon, so we'll provide the links for the ones that I'm talking about. But the JL Childress or Childress Ultimate Car Seat Travel Bag, it's huge, you guys. It fits basically any car seat. And it's great because it has backpack straps. So even though you're going to look like a total weirdo at the airport with this huge freaking bag on your back, it makes it super convenient. And the awesome thing too is it's so big that when you put your car seat in, there's usually still room. So I usually put in diapers or other stuff that, like, you know.
You sneak it in. You sneak it in.
You get it. Pack it all in.
You know, you make it Mary Poppins, you know how she has her little bag? You, like, pull everything out of her little bag and more and more stuff comes out.
Totally. And then if your child is two or older and so you're using the car seat on the plane – I got this great cart. It's called the GoGo Babies Travel Mate. And it's just this awesome little tiny light cart on wheels that you strap the car seat to. And Magnolia loves it because she sits in the car seat and rides through the airport. And so it's cool because then you're not lugging that thing. And then it literally fits right up the aisle of the airplane. So you can just roll that puppy all the way to your seat, chuck it in the overhead bin above you. It just makes it so much more convenient than lugging everything around. Cause I always feel like such a crazy person when I've got like 20 things and you're dropping crap as you go along. And I don't know about you, but we're always late. So we're always running, to flight.
Always late. It's part of the excitement. You got to get that adrenaline rush.
And then, you know, here are my like tips for travel with kids. I always go online before a new trip and I look up, either go on Pinterest or I just do a Google search for toddler or infant travel toys. People are always making lists of things that they've found useful. And there's always new stuff. I'm always trying to bring little fun new things. I think the one huge pointer that I would give is, look, there's no magic solution in a bottle that's going to make your child sit on a plane or in a car for hours on end and not move. That's just not going to happen. So if you can ahead of time prepare yourself that like traveling for at least this point in your life is going to be a heck of a lot of work, and you're not going to get to sit and relax and watch a movie on the plane or, you know, do all the things that you used to do. You could probably sneak a glass of wine in there. I do it when Magnolia's napping. Once you kind of commit to that and kind of get in the spirit of it, it makes it a lot better if you're just at least in that mindset.
Right.
And I just have one bag that is devoted to little baggies of different activities for Magnolia. You know, when she was younger, it was oddly shaped things. And I usually would go to CVS like typically midnight on the night before we left, because I was always, again, running late. And I would just go in the travel section and grab every little travel bottle, toothbrush, something that she could chew on, play with. Oh, how does this open? How do I get this top off? You know, certainly some things that you would want to supervise, but like anything that's new that they haven't seen before that they can like take something off of, or it makes a noise. You know, that was always great. And then I would just grab the little, travel makeup bags, from, you know, the hair and makeup section and throw stuff in those.
That's a great idea.
Now that she's older, we do a couple of cartoon series that we don't really let her watch at home. You know, those are good for a half hour here or a half hour there, on one of our iPhones, or on a little iPad. And then, we bring books. One thing that I just packed for our upcoming trip is a baggie of those little fuzzy balls, different size fuzzy balls. And I read this online. This woman recommended buying a bottle at the airport when you get inside the security and dumping the water out. And once you get on the plane, like showing them how to stuff the little fuzzy balls in the plastic bottle. And that probably occupied her for about a half hour doing it. So, I mean, it's incremental. Like we're looking at the the increments of the travel, car ride, plane ride, that you can basically get them involved in something for that amount of time. I know one friend just flew to Germany by herself with her 18-month-old baby, and they spent about 5 hours. It was one of those double-decker planes going up and down the stairs.
Yeah.
So we'll ask the stewardess to bring us
flight attendant. I'm kidding.
Cup of ice. Just bring a cup of ice.
A cup of ice. That was my mom's big trick. She was like, cup of ice. It worked, especially when they're really little. And then they chew on it. It's great.
Yeah.
Bianca, what are your – do you have a New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is probably – I don't make New Year's resolutions. I think we've talked about this before because I feel like I should just
last
try
–
yes, we did last New Year's. I feel like we should just try to, maybe do things and implement things throughout the year and not just one time a year. I feel like it's always going in with a gusto and I'm going to do it and then I never do it. And then I feel bad about myself and it ends up being antithetical to what I was doing in the first place. But I would say that one thing that I am trying to do right now is just to really be present with Magnolia, because I'm realizing how quickly this time is flying past, and I'm missing so many things already that she's already not doing that she did a couple months ago. And so I just I want to, you know, I just try to like not take my phone places with us, and be there. And
and that's why, you you know, Atomic Moms is, you know, we're doing it's a transitional period because.
Yes.
So would you like to talk about that for
a
moment?
Yeah. So
I know our time is.
Is limited.
Nearing an end.
So I have a little bit of sad news for our listeners, and some of you may have already kind of gotten an inkling of what's going on because Ellie has been taking over most of the duties at this point, all of the duties, let's be honest. But, you know, I had to have a real moment of honesty with myself about my time, and I was not prepared for how intense doing this live show was going to be, and how
undateable, yeah,
yes, undateable, and how intensely I felt working mom guilt, and how much I missed being with my little girl every day. And you know, I sat down with my husband a couple months ago when the show really started to kind of show its true colors in terms of what the time commitment would be.
Again, and undateable.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Our spokesperson, Ellie.
No, but just so the listeners know that we're talking about undateable and not this show, because it's confusing.
Oh, yes. Sorry. That's a very valid point. And, you know, Mike told me something that really hit me and made an impact. And that was that he was listening to one of his favorite MMA fighters, very unlikely source for this inspiring advice. But he said that, you know, your life is a lot like your iPhone, and that if you have too many apps open and running, your battery is going to drain really fast, and that you have to really pick and choose the apps that you know, give you the most bang for your buck and also allow you to do all the things that you need to do and have the energy for the most important things. And while I love this podcast so much, and I've had such an absolute blast doing it with you, Ellie, and I feel like it's such an important voice to be out there in the world, it unfortunately was something that was draining a lot of my energy, and a lot of that was because I felt so guilty because poor Ellie was taking on so much and doing so much herself, and I wasn't able to be present in the way that I would like to be present for the things that I choose to do in my life. And more importantly than all of that is that it was taking away from time that I had with Magnolia. And you know,
the irony.
Yes.
The exactly. Parenting podcast taking away from the parenting. I hear you. Isn't that wild? It's so crazy.
and that just didn't make sense to me. And, you know, with a full-time gig, and my first love, obviously being my child, but my second love being my acting, I had to make a very difficult decision, and I just am so grateful to you, Ellie, for being so understanding, and also to you, our listeners, for knowing that I really genuinely love doing this, and hopefully I'll be back as a guest host here and there along the way. You have a very strong and capable captain, in Miss Ellie taking this on, who really is so passionate about all of you guys and about bringing you the greatest, the latest and the greatest people in the parenting world who have a lot to say and things that need to be heard, and maybe you wouldn't ultimately have any other way of finding them. And so I'm so proud of this podcast. I'm so grateful for it and for the experience that I've had over the past year. And I will miss doing it on a weekly basis. But I'm just so happy that it's still going and going strong. And, I love you guys all. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share some of, my struggles and worries, but also my small victories and the lessons that I learned. And, I love you all.
And we'll be right back. Thank you, Bianca. We love you so much. And so now for our holiday gift to you all, I have Susan Stiffelman. Susan Stiffelman is a marriage and family therapist, a credentialed teacher, and a licensed psychotherapist. For over 30 years, Susan has worked with families to create greater harmony and deeper connection between parents and children. She also delivers the weekly parenting advice for the Huffington Post as their parent coach. Susan, I have to ask you, do you have any tips for all of our mamas and papas and caregivers that are traveling for the holidays and they're going to see their relatives and it always brings up so much drama? Do you have any life hacks or survival tips for how we can stay sane and not in power struggles with our extended family?
Good thinking to think about it in advance. You know, we do get stirred up and triggered. There are so many parts of ourselves that are kind of invisible that come to the forefront under those circumstances with family and, you know, just old junk that rises to the surface. And it could be the smallest thing. Your mother-in-law might say, "Well, honey, we don't usually set the table that way." And you might be like, "You've never liked me." Or one of your siblings might, you know, tell the punchline of the joke that you're delivering at the table. And you always undercut me. You always have to one-up me. Mm-hmm. And so I like to ask parents or people to just, you know, take your right hand, gently pat your heart, and you say to yourself or whisper under your breath, "They're there." You know, that we acknowledge this is a tough moment. And I think one of the first steps for healing when we go into those sort of challenging, stressful situations, first is to set your expectations really, really low.
I love that. There was a TED Talk about that once. Yeah. The secret to happiness is low expectations.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe the expectation is I'm going to get through the 3 days just feeling, you know, a warm, fuzzy feeling three times while I'm there. Or, noticing, and here's the other one that sort of segues into, notice when you feel that your blood pressure is rising or some old painful feelings are coming to the surface, and notice them, name them. There's that feeling again. It's so familiar. There's me feeling inadequate and insecure again. And then you can do the there, the way you would a child, but except you're offering that to yourself in the most loving, maternal, sweetheart kind of way to yourself. You take a breath and you notice and you name it if you can. And then, you know, go to the bathroom and just take a minute or two to be present with the feelings. The amazing thing about feelings is that if we don't resist them or try and talk ourselves out of having them, and we just allow them to be there, the feeling of maybe insecurity or sadness or hurt or confusion or disappointment. So you go in the bathroom and you just, you know, take a moment and you just feel it. Let it wash over you the way waves in the ocean, you know, wash over you, but they recede. The reason we get really wound up around family is that, number one, we have expectations and an agenda that may or may not be realistic. And number two, we try and shove those feelings back under the surface because they're very uncomfortable. But feelings don't last that long. If need be, just go in there and have a little bit of a cry. Allow yourself to feel the disappointment and the sadness that your family aren't quite where you wish they were, mm-hmm. or they don't see you the way they wish you could be seen by them. They still are holding the image of you when you were 14, or they're still bringing up stories about you that you can't even remember, let alone relate to. And you know what? That's a moment of grieving. That's a moment of feeling your sadness around that it isn't the way you wish it could be. That is where you have liberation, when you can feel the sorrow and the sadness and allow those feelings to wash over you. You will move into a sort of peaceful acceptance, and then you walk it back into the room. These are the people. They just are where they are in their journey. You bless them. You accept them just like you want to be accepted for where you are. And you look for any bright spots, and it may be that it's a bright spot with your child or, you know, something in nature outside. You look for something that is sweet, you know, and enjoy that. allow yourself to enjoy that instead of focusing all your energy and attention and obsessing on playing and replaying the mean and harsh comment that somebody made at dinner. Let it be, you know, feel sad about it. There's this incredible story of two monks, and they had, I'm sure you've heard it, but there were these two monks that, of course, they'd taken vows of celibacy, and they were walking on a journey back to their monastery. And at one point they came to a river, and there was a maiden there who, you know, was struggling with how to get across the river. So one of the monks put the woman on his back and carried her across the river and set her down again and took up on the journey with his fellow monk. And they walked in silence for several hours. And finally, the second monk said to the one who had carried the woman, you know, we have taken a vow of celibacy. You know, you picked that woman up and put her on your back. And, you know, we're not, that's really, you know, pushing it with our vows. And the monk says to his partner, you know, I set that woman down many hours ago. Are you still carrying her?
Oh, that's good. Wow. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, and rock on, Atomic Moms. Mm.